Veritex Community Bank Studios. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. Brendan behind the glass. Good to see Brendan working today. It's a Friday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know who else is going to be working on Sunday for the first time in a really long time? I mean, Brendan doesn't work very often, but he works more than Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson will be in action for the first time in a long time, 18 months or so, for Deshaun Watson playing in an NFL game. I think it's over 400 days. It's got to be over 400 days. I don't know why I said that. But Deshaun Watson back on the football field, ironically in Houston, ironically against his former team, ironically against the Houston Texans.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of irony there, I guess you would say. And a lot of people will be watching. I think more people would have been watching if the Texans would have been more relevant this season. But I think that in a lot of ways, this is significant because it brings significance to a game in a very insignificant season for the Houston Texans. Maybe not as much as we thought it would at the start of the season when the schedule came out. But as you look at it, there are a whole lot of people in this city that have not forgotten about what has happened, what transpired, what he supposedly did, how he wanted, regardless of what he did off the football field. The fact that a lot of people kind of get lost in the shuffle is he asked for out. He wanted to get away from the franchise and, in essence, the city of Houston. And a lot of people will not forget that, nor should they. And that's where it all started. And then obviously it continued with all the off the field stuff. And I think a lot of people want to express their displeasure with everything that he did and how he conducted himself in his business until he exited the city.
Yeah. Deshaun Watson talked to the media yesterday for the first time. He's speaking now, which is great. He didn't speak the day he was supposed to speak. He held it off a day, which, like, what are you doing?
Is he late for a lift?
Maybe. Maybe he Brandon Cooks'd it and was late for a lift. Here's what Watson said, because I'm interested what the city thinks of Deshaun Watson. I think the energy level's down because the Texans have been terrible in terms of, like, where is the interest for this matchup on Sunday? It's not what it is now as opposed to what it was when everybody found out Watson's first game was going to be against the Houston Texans. But Deshaun Watson talked about what does it mean to you the first game's in Houston and talked about his admiration for the city and the franchise.
I'm excited to just play football in general in front of Cleveland Browns fans, but also in front of some of the Houston Texans fans. I respect the whole organization of the Houston Texans. I respect them and their family. I respect everyone that was there that drafted me in 2017. There's been great memories, fun memories. I still have a home in Houston. I still have friends and family that's still in Houston. The relationships are still there. People, some of the players on the team, you know, I play with are seeing, you know, come up from, you know, maybe practice squad or from injuries. So, I'm excited to get in front of all those fans. I have so much love for the city of Houston and H-Town. And everyone in that city pretty much knows that. So I'm excited to do that. But, you know, the most important thing is, you know, I'm excited to be in front of the Cleveland Browns fans for sure.
Like, I usually, like, press conferences have their, you know, they have their value in sports. They have their space in sports. I think that sometimes we can get information from press conferences, storylines, things like that. I think a lot of times we put way too much stock in what athletes and coaches and general managers are saying behind a microphone, because most of the time they're not being that honest behind
their
microphone.
What was the Brady quote? You guys buy into everything I say, and 99% of the time it's total BS.
Yeah, like, most of it's probably true, but they're always walking the line, right? They're not going to say anything that's controversial. Most of the time, they're not going to say anything that's going to get them in trouble. Most of the time, an athlete, a coach, a general manager, everything that they're trying to do at a press conference is get through the press conference without saying, doing anything controversial that will not be headline worthy.
Yeah, keep it from being on the billboards in the locker room and on the front pages of all the different media outlets.
That's the priority for a lot of press conferences, not to give you nuggets of information, not to give you nuggets of truth. Like, we're not anti press conference, anti-podium, but we're also going to be honest with what it is. Deshaun Watson demanded a trade from the Houston Texans after signing a long-term extension that paid him handsomely, and now he wants to talk about the respect he has for the people in the organization. I'm sorry, I'm not buying what you're selling. But I am curious, and we'll get into this a little bit later. Like, how Deshaun says he loves Houston. Do you like Deshaun Watson in Houston? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. But we know that this is going to happen after the game. I heard Titus Howard talking. It's somewhere. I can't remember where. I think Mark Berman had the stuff. Maybe he was at a locker room. I don't know. But he was. I'm not welcome there on Kirby. But anyways, he talked about
how sneakers, buddy.
He talked about. Titus Howard did how much he likes Deshaun Watson, how he was such a good person in that locker room, how he enjoyed playing with Deshaun Watson. So we know that after the game, maybe even during the game, we've seen Deshaun Watson be friendly to opponents during games before, that the Texan players are going to be friendly with Deshaun Watson. Watson's going to be friendly with Texan players. We know it's going to happen. Whenever we see that, and look, there's a good chunk of people that are, you know, identify as Texans fans that really have no interest in the Texans right now and won't be watching the Texans right now. But if you are still one that watches the Texans, if you are one that will be watching the Texans against Deshaun Watson because you dislike Deshaun Watson so much, is it going to bother you when the Texans and Deshaun Watson are friendly with one another?
It's not going to bother me, but I understand that it's probably going to bother, I won't say a lot of folks, but some folks. I think some folks are going to be disturbed by the fact that not everybody sees and has the opinion that they do about this guy and that all that he did while he was here. And I think that, again, we all know that we are loyal to our friends. And there are times that we're going to stay loyal to our friends, maybe until all the facts come out, maybe after that. Whereas most of the other people watching from the outside or with involvement would say, how could you do that? Never in a million years. I cannot believe that, and have their opinion be completely different than yours. I think a lot of times you see this when crimes are committed, the way the family stays behind and backs and supports their family member. And that's disturbing. But to this level, I think that there will be people that will be disgusted with the fact that there will be guys. And I hope it doesn't happen. And that's one of my biggest pet peeves. But I hope it doesn't happen during the game. I hope guys are trying to knock his ass down on the defensive line and trying to tackle him every chance they get and don't help him back up. After the game, if you want to shake his hand and give him the bro hug and talk about things, cool. But I don't have a problem with it, but I do think that people will.
You know, I think I do have a problem with it. Like, I'm not going to sit here and yell and jump on the table and be like, I don't want Titus Howard back with the Houston Texans because he's saying nice things about Deshaun Watson. But I'll be honest. Whenever I saw the quote, listened to the quote from Titus Howard, where he's happy that Deshaun's playing football again, where he's got nothing but good things to say about Deshaun Watson, that made me sick. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. Deshaun Watson, dirty pervert that allegedly has 24 sexual misconduct cases, and then you have Titus Howard immediately, his first game back, is talking about how great Deshaun Watson is. Like, I don't hold anything against Titus Howard for saying that. But do I like that he said that? No, I really don't.
I think you can have it both ways. You can not like that he said it, but at least understand the fact that it is possible for him to have positive feelings towards Deshaun Watson. Remember now, when Howard came into the league,
there's one thing of having those, though, and then saying that.
Well, but some guys, as we all know, they're not calculated. We just got done talking about how you handle press conferences and stuff, and some guys just don't think that far ahead. They just say what's ever on their mind or whatever they feel, and they don't think it through and say, if I say this, well, then maybe that is going to be the reaction that people have, and I'm going to catch some heat for it. They might just feel like a guy like, say, Titus Howard. I came into the league. This was my quarterback. I didn't know anything, where to go, what to do, and I was, you know, worried about how I would fit in on this offensive line. He not only, you know, took me out to dinner, but he worked with me. He supported me. He did maybe things we don't even know while he was getting established his first year, to where they developed a friendship. And he probably has a totally different feeling than we do about Deshaun Watson.
Will it bother you when you see the Texans friendly with Deshaun Watson? I mean, you know it's going to happen after the game. Like, I wonder if somebody does a jersey exchange with Deshaun Watson. If anybody does a jersey exchange with Deshaun Watson, I do not want that player to be a Houston Texan again. I don't care who it is. If it's Derek Stingley, although he's probably not going to play, trade him. If it's Jalen Petrie that's jersey exchanging with Deshaun Watson, trade him. If it's Brandon Cooks, cut him. If it's Laremy Tunsil, trade him to the Browns. If it's Titus Howard, trade him as well. If anybody already swaps jerseys with Deshaun Watson. I do not want that guy as a member of the Houston Texans anymore.
You think he wants Kyle Allen's jersey?
Go Cougs. Who wouldn't? Yeah, I think he would want Kyle Allen's jersey. He probably wants Kyle Allen to be his backup. I saw something in The Athletic today where Kyle Allen was like Cam Newton's briefcase carrier whenever he was a rookie.
At Carolina?
Yeah, so Kyle Allen probably is a very good backup to have for Deshaun Watson. He'd probably love that because he knows that Kyle Allen's willing to do whatever it takes to help his QB1 succeed or whatever. I would be bothered. I'm going to be bothered whenever Texans players are friendly with Deshaun Watson. I hope it's nothing more than a handshake and an attaboy and good luck down the road. Anything more than that will bother me. Deshaun says that he loves Houston. Do you, Houston, like Deshaun? 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Also, with Deshaun Watson back, how often are we going to be checking in on Deshaun Watson as football viewers, looking at the Cleveland Browns, looking at our ex, DW4. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, or on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. He's at Pac-Man Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, big weekend coming up of sports again. We've got the World Cup with the United States and the Netherlands. We've got all kinds of sports to be keeping an eye on, conference championship games, college basketball, NBA basketball, NFL football. You name it, my bookie's got it. If you want to put some money down and make even the most uninteresting game more interesting, go to mybookie.ag because you don't need to sweat your payouts at mybookie.ag. They have a no-strings bonus that lets you cash in and cash out quickly. Get started right now. As I mentioned, go to mybookie.ag. Always keep this in mind. Use the promo code BET975 on a deposit as little as $50 up to $2,000, and you'll get a 10% cash bonus. Bet your deposit amount once, you're ready to cash out. You won't find an easy bonus like this anywhere else. It's no strings attached with mybookie.ag. Hammer the bonus on mybookie.ag so you can focus on what's important. That's winning games and winning money. We know how important sports is to you, and we know that because you listen on a daily basis, you know some stuff about sports if you listen to the right shows like the Killer Bees. If you listen to that information and you want to capitalize on it, I encourage you to go to mybookie.ag and use that promo code BET975. That is the best way to get that bonus and to even cash in before you start betting. That's the way you do it at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Deshaun Watson spoke yesterday for the first time since preseason. He's going to play on Sunday, in case you've been living under a rock. Against the Texans, by the way, in case you've just been living. He says that how much he likes the city. He's still got a house here, friends, family. He respects the city. He said he respects the organization. He said he respects the McNairs, respects the people that drafted him in 2017. I mean, Killer Bees aren't buying that. He's obviously lying through his teeth because he was sending out subtle, subliminal tweets on Twitter demanding trades before we found out that he was a pervert and someone who was a sexual misconductor. It looked like Brendan had something
to say.
Well,
he also specified in the clip we played, which I thought was really funny, after he said that he had a lot of respect for the organization. He's like, I have a lot of respect for the people who drafted me and the people who were there at that point in time.
But he said the McNairs.
That's the weirdest thing, because he basically at one point, and I don't know if he, I thought he flat out said it, but it was basically either as long as Cal's the owner, it's him or me. And I think that if you feel that way, how the hell are you going to feel like I respect the McNair?
I think like he recognized he was lying, but also recognized that like it's stuff you're supposed to say. And so it just sounded awkward.
It sounded awkward. And also, like, the bold-faced lie. Like, I think anybody would see right
you
through that.
You both have to say it and know how ridiculous.
I don't think you have to say that. I don't think you have to say that you have respect for the organization.
You have to say appreciation.
I think
for
I agree with Jeremy
the
on
city
this
of Houston.
One.
No,
you could, that's fine.
You don't
leave
have to
it,
say the organization.
Leave it there. I respect the city. I have family friends there. Can't wait to play Sunday. End of story.
I was going to ask you guys, what's more disturbing? The way he, basically talked about a love fest, basically still with the city and the organization, or the fact that he still has a house here? Because I think people, the way they handled, what was the kick returner that fumbled, and by the time he got
Jacoby
home,
Jones?
Yeah. that they went to his house and they
he's a Texan legend though.
They did all that kind of stuff.
I say Texan like the state of Texas, not just Houston, Texas. Like the dude was like a high school hero. Like the dude.
But remember that though. By the time the plane landed, idiot went to his house and went off. I think a lot of people were like, "What? You still have a house here?" But I think the other thing is that you don't have to say the things that he said. You just say, you know what? I appreciate my time in Houston. I appreciated my time with the Texans and the city. I've turned the page. It's time for me to move on and focus on Cleveland, the Browns, playing, and the fans. The way he went about it and the things he said just continued to keep the can of worms open.
Yeah. I think press conferences are pretty much stupid. Like every now and then you'll get something decent out of a press conference that's like newsworthy, that's relevant. Other than that, their dudes are just lying and trying to save face. But Deshaun Watson trying to save face by saying he had respect for the Houston Texans showed us like how much of a liar and how ignorant he is, because we're seeing right through it. 713-780-ESPN. How does Houston feel about Deshaun Watson, though? We want to know. 713-780-3776. Dead Name says he does not know what respect means, Branham. I agree with that. Deshaun does not know what respect means. Some people weighing in on the text line as well. The HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Eric the Driver, excitement for the game is down, but it will never change the hate I feel for that lying POS. I agree with you, Eric the Driver. Brandon T says a bad word starts with an F. It's four letters. Deshaun Watson. F word, Deshaun Watson. I think you catch the drift. 4741, as we're trying to figure out how Houston feels about Deshaun. I guess we don't have to try out that much, right? I think we know. 713-780-3776. Deshaun Watson should not be allowed to play in the NFL. He should have to register as a sex offender. Northside Houston doesn't like Watson. Zach, not only do I want Texans players talking with Watson, do not want Texans players talking with Watson. I want to see one of these young defenders play through the whistle and light him up.
And you and I talked about that. I totally get that. I mean, because I think the conversation spurned from someone saying they wished bodily injury on Deshaun, and I think that's taking it a bit too far. But the fact that you want to see someone absolutely just drill Deshaun Watson and rip his head off on a play, I completely understand that. Look, I mean, I think that sometimes, and it's hard for even us in the media because we have to say allegedly because he was not convicted. But you know what? There are still open cases too. But the fact that there is a trend that was established, there was a pattern that developed, we saw and heard enough to know this dude isn't the guy that was at all these charity functions that was all about, you know, being that front man for goodness in the city of Houston. At the same time, he's not our problem anymore, and this is the one chance that we know that the entire city is going to get to express their displeasure with a guy that went 180 from where he was drafted when he joined the city and the organization to how he exited. So I fully expect and I want people to just completely unload on him. The problem is that because this team is so freaking bad that there's not the same kind of hype and excitement level that I think we thought and anticipated at the start of the year when the schedule came out, when we found out what his suspension was going to be, we're like, oh, that is going to be. I think season ticket holders were getting triple the value on their tickets before the season for that game. And then how the season played out, they're lucky they sold them when they did, if they did, because now I think you're going to be hard-pressed to see 50% of the stands filled.
Yeah. Ocho says there's not a bigger waste of time in any aspect of life than sports press conferences. I think he's right. I, for the most part, we watch those press conferences trying to find something that's like going to lead to drama, that we can like pick at the drama, something said that is funny, and then every once in a while, every blue moon, somebody will say something that is relevant. Every now and then of like thousands of minutes of press conference footage, content, every now and then you might get 10 seconds of something that's actually like real, tangible, and could influence things.
Well, you look at what happened between, and it started with Brian T. Smith and Lovey, and then it continued, right?
But even that's like not even really relevant. It's more just drama. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but at the same time, what I was getting at is, at a certain point when pressed to a certain degree where you get totally frustrated, you may just slip off of your planned program of sticking with the company line, doing the whole Bull Durham, hey, I'm just happy to help the team, you know, good Lord willing, everything works out in the end kind of stuff. And then if you keep getting pressed and you keep getting the same question, at a certain point, the hope is, and a lot of media truly hope this, that you snap, that you break, and then you go nuts. And then you also, from time to time, get those rare personalities that don't care to think about how they handle press conferences and are just going to be a loose cannon that says whatever, whenever, however they feel. And then it's a field day. And then everybody has a good time. It's just the rest of your team that has to try and pick up the pieces and anticipate this could be a different kind of setting.
Houston, how do you feel about Deshaun? Deshaun says he has respect for the city. Do you have respect for Deshaun? Do you like Deshaun? And also, if you see the Texans players friendly with Deshaun Watson postgame, how are you going to feel about that? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go there now for Jacob. Jacob, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Jacob?
Hey, man. No, Deshaun Watson is literally the worst thing that ever happened to Houston sports.
That's a big statement.
He set the Texans back 3 years, and honestly, I hope he tears both his Achilles.
Ooh.
This game.
Yikes.
Appreciate the call, Jacob. It's going to be difficult to do both of them in this game. That's a bold statement that he is the worst thing that's happened to Houston sports. Maybe a little prisoner of the moment. I'm trying to think of like is it bigger than the Bills comeback to the Oilers? Yeah. Probably not. Now, if you want to
the Renfro catch against the Steelers, too,
yeah.
That was
now you're going
falsely.
Back. In, it was what the 80s.
Yeah.
Now you're going back a long time. Now, if you want to just say the worst thing that's happened in the Houston Texans franchise. I think we might have a conversation here. Now, Deshaun demanding the trade. You can throw in the early days of Easterby when he had power in that. You can throw in the DeAndre Hopkins trade. I think that those are probably, and maybe I'm missing a couple, and 713-780-3776. What's the worst thing that's ever happened to the Houston Texans franchise? Deshaun Watson did kind of set the organization back. Like, it was a perfect storm, though, because all of the things that we just mentioned that are in contendership for, like, the worst things that's happened in Houston Texans history all happened, like, in the same time frame.
I was going to say, I think that if you went with just multiple choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the leader in the clubhouse, first one is Deshaun Watson. I think Jack Easterby is second. I think Bill O'Brien might be third, but people forget Bill O'Brien's success as a coach probably keeps him off the pedestal. And the stage getting the award. I think Easterby and Watson are neck and neck in that front.
Yeah. Now, in terms of like setting the organization back, Texans had their franchise quarterback. There was a tenor in this city. People forget this because of how quickly it hit rock bottom. That Deshaun Watson was going to win an MVP in his career as the Houston Texan quarterback, and he signed an extension to be the Houston Texan franchise quarterback, and that he would win a Super Bowl for the Houston Texans. That was a popular opinion with Deshaun Watson at the helm, and then demands trades. Now the Texans are the laughingstock of the NFL. There was a lot of other things that, were variables in that equation. But Deshaun Watson won it out. Big one.
I'll tell you what, the fourth one, Bud Adams moving the team.
Yeah, so that's not the Texans.
Well, you're right. It just affected the Texans.
Yeah,
but I would say,
that's more
if
football
it was
in the city
football,
of Houston. Yeah.
Houston professional
absolutely.
Football, then Bud Adams is on that list.
Because without that, there is no Texans. So, like, that's
right,
probably
right.
At the height of the list for football in the city. But if you just pigeonhole it to the Texans, you can't include that.
No, okay, that's fair. The other thing that I would say, too, about Deshaun Watson is the thing that, you expected to take him at his word in a lot of ways from the time he was drafted, too, right? About how he cared about Houston, how he cared about charitable things, how he really wanted to give back. The stories we remember about, growing up in the Warwick Dunn charity-funded house that was given to him and his mom and then being able to give back and taking care of the people in the cafeteria. But then you realize he had to say all the things that he had to say subliminally and otherwise about the franchise and how he wanted out. But he still signed the damn extension. He got the extension. He got his money while he was disgruntled with either people or parts or the entire organization. But yet he wanted out.
Yep.
And then the fact that he got out, too, is what really frustrated people, because there's a lot of people that believe old school. If you sign your name on a contract, you live up to that contract. And he and James Harden and others don't do that, didn't do that, set a new precedent by doing what they did. But it pissed a lot of people off a lot more.
Worst things that have happened in Houston Texans franchise history is Deshaun Watson at the top of that list. Watson says he respects you, Houston. How do you feel about Deshaun Watson? 713-780-ESPN, our HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Talking sports with you, not at you.
It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Is Deshaun Watson the worst thing that's happened to the Houston Texans franchise? 713-780-ESPN. A lot of people on the Twitch, Big C saying Bill O'Brien. I think that there's like four of those that all happen in the same time span. They're all kind of, you know, 1A, 1B, 1C. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Angel, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Angel?
How you doing, man?
What's up?
Can I hear me?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, my opinion on Deshaun Watson is I believe he brought back football to the city. We had all this chaotic. We didn't have a quarterback for the longest. And he brought football back. Whatever he does personal life, that was on him, you know. But he brought football back. I know I was a big fan of him. And I really wish him the best with the Browns now. This is my opinion on him.
Appreciate the call, David Mulligetta. Thanks for listening to the Killer Bees.
I wanted to keep him on and go, how the hell could you think that? I mean, like, literally, if even a fraction, or you can't say you've never heard, you know all the stuff this dude is being accused of that he's been through, whether it was criminal or not. How in the hell can you support him like that?
Without the off-the-field stuff, I could see being neutral. Like, just understanding what the organization was going through and why he wouldn't want to be a part of that, I could see neutral.
I've seen people defend the off-the-field stuff. I've seen that happen. I've seen people say that, look, not guilty in the court of law. Settlement doesn't equate guilt. Consensual. I've seen people defend the off-the-field stuff, but too.
I'm just saying, that's a whole different conversation. I can see somebody going, I don't hate the man for wanting out of an organization that was falling apart. I can understand somebody saying that.
See, that's interesting to me, because I don't know if that means you're a Texans fan, to be completely honest. Because I think that you can also have this conversation with James Harden. And James Harden comes into town on Monday, and apparently he's going to make his return so he can play against the Houston Rockets on Monday. Like, James Harden, there was a lot of James Harden-only fans, or Rocket fans that only pulled for Harden, and then when Harden won it out, it's like, well, I still love James Harden, don't really like the Rockets all that much. Like, I think that if like the way that you look at Deshaun, if you're still, you like Deshaun, you thought he brought football back to the city of Houston, I question if you're really a Texans fan, because he turned his back on the Texans after signing a big extension. Mm-hmm. He stabbed you in the back as a Houston Texans fan. And I understand that there was a lot of disdain for the Texans, Cal McNair, Jack Easterby, the Bill O'Brien stuff, you know, hit rock bottom. Everything came crashing down when it seemed the Houston Texans were going to make a rise to you know, being a contender in the AFC thanks to Deshaun Watson. But then Deshaun Watson stabbed you in the back. If you're going to side with Deshaun Watson, in my opinion, you're not a Texans fan. You're a Deshaun Watson fan.
No, I agree with that. And because I think you're right. You nailed it when you said there were a good portion of people that were James Harden fans, probably more so than they were Rockets fans. But they also remember that they just anointed James Harden as the guy that elevated this franchise year after year and just completely eliminated everybody else out of the equation. Harden never played better than when he was with Chris Paul, because Chris Paul contributed and he was able to do the things that he did. That's why you're able to have the conversation.
You say Chris Paul of Kim Kardashian fame?
Oh, I guess so. Evidently, yay, if that's the case. But I just feel like a lot of times you go through sports life, your sports fandomonium with blinders on. Uh-huh. And because you get so attracted and addicted to your favorite player that you almost refuse. That's what that was going to put that caller. That's what you almost refuse to accept, believe, and understand what else went on with said player. James Harden did the same thing. He didn't do it off the court stuff that we know. But we know that the one thing that he did do was he turned his back on Houston, said, I want out. I don't want to be a part of this, after they basically kissed his ass for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough for me to piss me off to where I could see through and everything else and say, I don't want that dude around, and I'm not a fan.
See, even without the off-the-field stuff, which is a hard conversation to have because the off-the-field stuff was so heinous, I feel like you still shouldn't be a Deshaun guy, because he left you.
Completely agree.
At the altar. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line for Lamont. Lamont, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Lamont?
Hey, what's the deal with it, fellas? First of all, I think that Deshaun Watson is a piece of crap. I think he's a pervert, and I think he's going to do whatever he's done again. But with that being said, Deshaun Watson did some good for the other Texans, and I'm going to tell you what he did good for the Texans. He broke the idiot-proof fandom model that I had to sit up here and watch for almost 20 years of fans just coming out there year after year. Now it's just gotten to the point now that since Deshaun Watson broke their heart, they can't even get fans inside that stadium no more. So now they got to actually go out there and do something. The Texans right now are where the Oilers was at and where the Astros and the Rockets are at. Well, they're going to have to actually do something. They're going to have to actually do something and put a team on the field to get fans in that stadium. It's no more of that 3-7 and 3-13, and in the next week you got 60,000 people at the stadium. Now it's 3-13 or 3-14, and you got 10,000 people at the stadium. So I like Deshaun about that right there.
Appreciate you calling.
I understand what he's saying. Look, I mean, we know this. I mean, forever and a day, we had this conversation months ago about, is it now a baseball town? Because forever and a day, it was a football town. It was a football state. It was a football town. And to Lamont's point, it didn't matter how good or bad they played. Guess what? They were going to sell out every game. There was a 70,000-person waiting list. Everybody anointed the Texans as it in sports, in professional sports, in Houston. And they basically thought they walked on water. And I was in meetings, and I dealt with them enough to realize, too, that they acted like that, too. They had an arrogance about them that we can do whatever we want because we are still going to be sold out. We are still going to have a ton of people that want the tickets if said people that are going to the game to sell it out don't want to go. And that we're always going to be the Houston Texans. This did kind of slap them back to reality in a sense and say, there is no more waiting list. There is no more sellouts.
Yeah.
You actually got to put up to get people to shut up and come back.
Part of that was Deshaun leaving, though. Like, part of that was Deshaun leaving. Like, if Deshaun doesn't leave, and I understand he won four games his last year of the Texans, but you have a franchise quarterback that if you can build around that franchise quarterback, there is excitement, there is buzz, there is hope. Now that Deshaun Watson, like, demanded a trade, all of that left, and you became the laughingstock of the NFL, worst team in the NFL. And yes, it is time that you have to do something to get the city back. And I think it's going to be a long road. Like, sports fans in this city, in the city of Houston, they move like big ships. It takes them a while to turn its access. It took a while for Houston Texans fans to stop going to NRG Stadium. So it's going to take a while to get them back because there's doubt. There is not belief in the organization, and they're still a ways away. Like, this isn't going to be fixed overnight. This isn't going to be the Texans are contenders in 2022. The Texans are contenders next year. The best thing that they can hope for is hope. Like, they have to start selling hope before they start selling a winning franchise.
Hope and replacing said player, right? Because the Matt Schaub era and the pick six Schaub era was something that they couldn't erase from their minds, and it pissed everybody off, and it started to get people to at least contemplate giving up on the Texans. But then you got Deshaun Watson, and now all of a sudden, to your point, hope was alive again because now they've got a true franchise quarterback for the long haul. Mm-hmm. And now it was just about getting the complimentary pieces around him. But now, since all this went down and he left and they hit rock bottom, until you get the next franchise, hopefully franchise quarterback, or at least looked at as a franchise quarterback that people can get behind again and find positivity with, they're still going to crap all over this franchise and crap all over everything around it and about it and go into games for them because of the fact that you haven't replaced him.
Chewy says, I disagree on Watson being a pervert, alleged pervert. Best case scenario, he's a pervert.
Yep,
best case
that's
scenario. That's the best case scenario. The best case scenario for Deshaun Watson is that he's a pervert. Because the worst case scenario for Deshaun Watson, and I know that this has been no build criminally, but the worst case for Deshaun Watson was that he was a sexual predator that should be in prison. Best case scenario, Deshaun Watson is a pervert. 713-780-ESPN.
And a knack for mistreating females.
Yes. Best case scenario.
Best case scenario. Correct.
713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Phil, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Phil?
Yeah. Number one, he did set the Texans back because without a QB, man, you ain't going anywhere.
Uh-huh.
But the other thing was, Didn't the whole thing with Watson start when they didn't hire Bienemy?
No, it was that he wasn't involved in the process.
Yeah, they had dinner with him. He wanted certain coaches that would interview for the job. Bienemy was probably on that list if memory serves, Phil, so I don't think that you're entirely off base there. I think that there was a list that Deshaun Watson wanted the Texans to interview. I think it was Bienemy. I think it was Robert Saleh was on that list, too.
He wanted to be consulted about the choices for the two open positions.
And then, you can question, why are you asking Deshaun Watson's opinion anyways? Secondly, they had dinner. They asked him who they should interview, and then they didn't listen to him right away, and then eventually interviewed those guys after the fact. So, Phil's not that far off base. And look, you need a quarterback in the NFL. Deshaun Watson demanding a trade. The Houston Texans won 4 games with Deshaun Watson. It all came crashing down. But it could also be the reason the Texans can kind of right the ship, right? Because, look, Deshaun Watson demanded the trade, but he didn't leave for nothing. You got a decent return
Saying, three first rounders. He was the only valuable asset left on this roster for the most part, and you had to maximize what you got for him. And for all intent and purposes, for the way Cesario handled it, with the limitations of the no trade, he did get as much as he could for him.
Three first rounders for Deshaun Watson I thought was fine for Deshaun Watson. And those three picks could be part of the reason why the Houston Texans can at some point, someday, and I know it's hard to believe today, on December 2nd, 2022, could be a playoff team again at some period of time in the distant future. 713-780-ESPN. Deshaun says he respects you, Houston. What do you feel about Deshaun? 713-780-3776 or HRMP listener line. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Deshaun respects you, Houston. How do you feel about Deshaun? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, 1790. A couple people have said this, actually. Am I a bad person for picking Watson up out of the boneyard to finish the season in fantasy football?
I mean, that's on you.
I have Deshaun Watson in a couple of leagues. I think it's separation of church and state, in my opinion.
Okay.
Separation of church and state. 713-780-ESPN, our HRMP listener line. Let's go out there for Big E. Big E, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Big E?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I think by far, Bill O'Brien was the worst thing to happen to Houston Texans football. The choices that he made, the players we let go, and the compensation we got in return. My biggest issue, really, though, is these guys demanding a trade and nothing happening for it. If someone demands a trade, the no-trade clause should be void, or they should lose their signing bonus. A team can't renege on a deal if the player doesn't turn out, to what he's supposed to be. It's not fair that these guys can just up and leave without any kind of repercussions. We have to hold these guys accountable. They signed the contract. And it's just not right that they're just able to up and leave.
Yeah, but he signed the contract that said he had a no-trade clause. That was the point of the contract, was that if he ever did want out or ever did want to trade, or if the Texans ever wanted to trade him, that he would have influence on it. You can't say that Deshaun Watson has to fulfill the contract, but then the Texans can do whatever they want with Deshaun Watson's contract. The contract said he had a no-trade clause. The Texans had to sign on that dotted line. The Texans, when they signed on that dotted line, the contract that said you have a no-trade clause, they have to know that the possibility exists that the Texans could find themselves in this situation. It's worst-case scenario, but as a general manager, and look, I understand the Texans weren't being ran very well back then, you have to understand that worst-case scenario is possible.
It is, but they didn't. Obviously, they did not. They thought that for the foreseeable future and maybe longer than that, they had their franchise quarterback. They wanted to wrap him up so there was never a chance to lose him and controversy that would go with it. The thing that I would say to take that a step further is where I would blame the team, and in this case, you can use it as mirror examples with both the Rockets and the Texans. I would blame the team for not having the stones to be able to hold your ground, to be able to say, you want us to trade you after you had a no-trade clause. Well, guess what? We don't want to, we don't intend to, and we won't. So therefore, if you're not going to play, you're not going to get paid, let's play chicken and see how long you're going to hang in there.
I don't think that made sense to do that, though. I don't think, like, because the Texans return for Deshaun Watson, how they played it out, and look, I understand that he got paid for a year that he set away. Like, you were probably going to have to pay that at some point anyways. If you play chicken, you don't have three first-round draft picks for Deshaun Watson.
But he's playing chicken by saying he doesn't want to play. So if he's not going to want to play and he's going to want to hold out, then I'm not going to pay you. And so at a certain point, I understand how it played out. It looks like, hey, it turned out great for the Texans, and that's great. But what you need to do to stop the precedent of so many other guys since then, and also, and as I mentioned, twice in this city, but across the league now, it seems to be more the norm that even with a long-term contract, you can ask out and you can be traded and you can get out when all it takes is one team to say, you know what, I'm gonna dig in here and say, you signed a contract long-term to play for us. If you're not going to play for us, you're not going to play, and we're not going to pay you.
But the two situations in Houston, though, neither team wanted them to play. The Texans didn't want Deshaun Watson to play, and the Rockets didn't want John Wall to play.
No, I'm not talking about John Wall. I'm talking about James Harden.
Okay.
James Harden asked out, and they, believe me, tooth and nail, but they wanted James Harden to
but
stay.
But he was playing. He didn't sit out. He was playing. He was still going through the motions. Like, he wasn't playing well. He was checked out, but he was still showing up, doing what he had to do.
And the biggest difference between the two is because of the outside stuff, Deshaun was not, but he did not want to. Harden just got fat and decided, because he cares about the money enough to say, I'm just at least going to show up so I still get the check every two weeks.
The tough part was saying, I'm not going to pay you if you don't play, isn't it? Say, okay, I'll play.
Right.
I'll play.
Yeah, exactly.
What happens if Deshaun Watson says, okay, I'll play, when he doesn't want to play? It's an impossible situation for an organization.
It was. Like, I don't really hold the Texans, like, in a negative light, and I hold them in a negative light for a lot of things. I don't for the way that they handled the Deshaun Watson thing. Like, did you want the Texans to say, okay, you're going to play while you have 24 sexual misconduct cases? Like, no, you didn't. You wanted him to stay home. And then if he doesn't, like...
Well, you wanted the league to step in.
But if he puts up a fight... But the league was allowing him to be, you know, not on the commissioner's exempt list. They didn't place him on the commissioner's exempt list.
There's no doubt. Sure. You need to place some blame on the league for that.
Yeah. 6167, as humans, we are far better than that. Forgiveness is our best trait. Should we be forgiving Deshaun Watson?
I'm not there yet.
713-780-ESPN.
I'm not there.
4237, Sean Watson is a jerk, and I hope his pants fall down.
We've had three. That's three what got him in trouble. On the text line today.
That's what got him in
that
this whole mess.
That has to be a kid texting.
That's what got him in this whole mess. Caleb says, "Why is that too far? Talking about bodily injury, he deserves bodily injury. What was taken too far is what he did to those women. That dude's garbage. Break his legs." Look, I guarantee you, it might be a minority of people, but there is some people that wouldn't mind bodily injury to Deshaun Watson.
I would think that that line starts with the parents and the family members closest to the women that were treated the way they were treated.
Trey would say that back, you know, if this was his daughter, you know, Deshaun would get got. 1415, where's your energy for the organization that helped him do these things? That's a wild allegation. Y'all, I've never had the hate for the Texans knowing and helping him and signing him knowing he did these things. Look, maybe I'm naive. I don't believe that Kyle McNair, the Houston Texans, the front office, thought that Deshaun Watson was committing 24 sexual misconducts multiple times with 24 different women. Am I naive there? Am I naive to think the Texans didn't know that Deshaun Watson was sexually misconducting women?
I'm not going to say, let me throw this at you, okay? I'm not going to say you are naive there, but I'm going to say if we know what we know, and we're never going to know all the details, right? But if we know that they were aiding and abiding by getting him a hotel room at the Houstonian and having their staff bring massage tables, at the very minimum, they knew that there was something.
He was getting massages. At the very minimum, they knew he was getting massages.
Okay, at the very, very minimum, he was getting massages. But when it kept happening frequently and you have massage therapists on staff and he's not using them, and even people at the hotel that were working there at the time could tell you, there was something going on more than a football player needing massage.
But even then, there's no way to know that Deshaun was doing things that the women didn't want them to do, didn't want him to do.
Right, unless they speak up.
Right.
Whatever happened behind closed doors, they don't know about. But there were assumptions that were starting, based on trends and how often it was happening, there were assumptions that started to be made, whether they could prove them or not.
I would imagine that the assumptions that would be made there are that he's having consensual sex.
Probably.
Right. That I believe could be the case, where the Texans and whoever knew that Deshaun was at the Houstonian with massage tables, with women that were coming into the hotel room at the Houstonian. I can imagine that a lot of people thought he was a dirty dog that was having a lot of consensual, you know what, with a lot of women.
Well,
but in terms of like forcing himself onto women, I refuse to believe that the Texans had any idea that was going on.
I think you're right there. Unless And even still, it would have to be where someone would be privy to that enough to be able to report back. Mm-hmm. Just bringing the table there back. But again, fairly or unfairly, it's like saying the comparisons are being made between Harden's existence in this city and Deshaun's. James didn't do anything close to what Deshaun did, but everybody knew James was in strip clubs. Everybody
sure.
knew
jerseys that, retired yeah, in
the
some
retired
of them.
Jerseys and the you know, right after losses and playoff losses, where did he end up? The strip clubs and things like that. And people knew that, but obviously they still rolled with him because he was the best player on their favorite team.
Let's not blame Deshaun Watson for one damn thing. Blame ownership for having a dumpster fire of a scouting department that couldn't do background research on Deshaun Watson. Blame ownership for having a crap legal department that couldn't construct a contract that was favorable to them. Okay, I don't know how we cannot blame Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, come on.
Dude settled 24 sexual misconduct cases or with 24 different women. The numbers might be a little fuzzy there. I've lost count. So you can't just all of a sudden not blame Deshaun Watson for anything.
That's like saying the Falcons should have known that Michael Vick was going to be a dog-fighting guy, and doing enough background research would have told you something that he was into illegal activity or, to that level. Come on. I mean, you can – and again, they're going to put on their best face for you when you're interviewing and you're following him around and you're looking at him. But the social media wasn't relevant – and a big deal back then either. It's not as easy as it is now to do the background checks to find out the kind of tendencies and things that they're talking about.
Yeah. 5399, DW4 was the face of the franchise. Darn right the Texans knew. Like I can't believe that. If you want to believe that, that's your prerogative. It's not a hill that I've been willing to die on. I just refuse to believe it. 713-780-ESPN. 0925. Even Beaumont hates Houston. What a fake human being. Can you not be from Beaumont and hate Deshaun Watson? Like, why is Beaumont so, is that the line in the sand?
Let me throw this at you, just to see what your answer would be. We say that they didn't know, but I know for a fact, like, our team security people knew more than just about anyone.
I would agree with that. I'm not naive to not, like, believe that.
So I would think that there was somebody. And again, the security guy was the guy that was giving out the illegal documents that the women were supposed to sign.
Yeah,
and
the NDAs.
The NDAs left in his locker. I mean, I know when our security guys over the years knew if they got in a traffic accident, knew if they had a domestic incident, they knew almost everything that no one else in the organization would have known. But they also knew that at a certain point, depending on what happened, it was smart for them to relay that information to the powers that be in the franchise.
Look, if Deshaun was getting NDAs to give to women, I believe the Texans thought he was a dirty pervert. Like, I believe that the Texans thought Deshaun Watson was sleeping with multiple women and had, like, certain ways of doing that and fetishes, like, along the way as well, like massage tables and things like that. Where I draw the line is where the Houston Texans were aware that Deshaun Watson was forcing himself onto women with unwelcome advances, and that the moment that they knew something about it, they started to put action in place. I don't believe that the Texans were giving Deshaun NDAs and being like, yeah, go force yourself onto women. I don't believe that to be the case. That is a huge allegation to give to somebody.
No, I'm saying that I think, though, that at a certain point, incidents, things pop up. You get wind of conversations that were had with people that were involved in the actual situations, whether it be the players themselves talking or on the other side of it, the victims and or the people involved in it, to where you can, you can understand something's not jiving here. Something's not right. And then the right thing to do would have been to relay said information to the people that pay your check, whether it be the president of the team, the general manager, whoever, just to keep them in the loop, make them aware so it doesn't blindside them in a case like this when it all gets exposed mm-hmm. in the media.
And like you said, you're never going to know the full truth
right
here. Never will. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Every Friday, we hand out winners. We give you winners on BZ Money, some weeks better than others. Some weeks, we don't have winners. Some weeks, we have winners. It's not for very much money. We're going to make you money this week, though. BZ Money, Killer Bees, handing out winners next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN at 92.5. Guys, we've did it. We've made it. It is Friday. The weekend is upon us. Hopefully, you're off work by now. If not off work now, you're getting off work soon, and the weekend is right around the corner. I have just the thing to boost up your weekend, to take it up a notch. Gentle Ben. vodka, gin, bourbon, whichever of the three you like. Gin O'Bin does it better than anybody else. They use their state-of-the-art, innovative Prosecco craft technology that's better in purity. It's better in aroma. It's better in taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gin O'Bin is unrivaled. They take out all the impurities. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip of Gin O'Bin, compare it to your brand, and you're going to taste that huge difference I did when Ricky Ford, owner of Gin O'Bin Spirits, A&M Class of 85, by the way, had me out to the tasting room in Alvin, and ever since then, as you know, I've been a Gentle Bin man. It is smooth, it is clean, it eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. You know you can find the Gin O'Bin Vodka and Gin, Total Wine Specs, also online at gentlebin.com. But new to the market, that double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards, you can now find the bourbon out on the market. Pretty much every Specs locations around Houston. Longhorn Liquor in Mount Bellevue, Potter's Liquor in Friendswood, Peter's Cut Rate in Angleton, Reserve Liquor in League City. Get your hands on that double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards. Christmas right around the corner, bourbon, gin, vodka, Gin O'Bin. Well, make sure you head to their website, ginobin.com. They have gift baskets of all of your favorite liquors. Sit back with good company and raise a glass to the very best, Gin O'Bin.